Sorry about that. Too many red lights. I mean, just enough. Let's get started. Right now, it's 1:39. I guess we'll come back for a motion for approval in minutes. And I know that he's starting off with the Route 9. One thing, Wayne and Tracy had something personnel that they may be here on time and most likely not. If there's any questions for them, work out next time. No problem.
Steve, you will probably administer the special services?
It's Route 9, library update for the record.
Yeah, I want to thank you for the opportunity to give you an update on the library project. You know, I was going to go out and take some photos of the site, but if you're driven by, there's, you know, a lot of site work is happening right now. The photos really aren't going to describe it well.
Trailer and dirt.
Yeah, pretty much. So what we've been doing, interestingly, is we've been paying, I think, $300 a month to get a drone out there to take video of the site. And I think ultimately that this is going to, once we do this every month and get to the end of the project, we're going to be able to edit this and have a pretty spectacular video that kind of shows the building.
And whoever we're hiring will be able to buy their own building.
Yeah, really. Yeah, so what I thought I would do is just give you an update on the library and just kind of let you see the latest drone video. Is that too loud?
No.
Right now, that kind of shows the building pad area, and that at this point is 100% complete. So we're all prepped and ready for the concrete contractor to come in. And luckily enough, that concrete contract was executed on 2/17. We should expect them on site by the end of March. Now this goes back, showing toward the back of the property. Toward the left is the parking area. Those are the homes on Hillview. The fenced area is a bioinfiltration swale. And then back to the building site in the area. I've actually changed this a little bit, my choreographic, so it's going to give a much better kind of drone presentation once we get the whole thing done. But anyway, just to give you an update on the project, the steel contract is very close to getting executed. I think it's in the executive office. So hopefully we'll have that signed soon. We had to rebid 6 of the 21 bid packages. So we've got those back out on the street. And we'll be getting those bids coming back in on 3/15. So at that point, we'll have a better sense of, you know, what dollars are.
Chair?
We have...
But George smiling.
Did they have to be, were they put out for rebid because the prices that came back were too high or the RFP wasn't clear enough?
Yeah, there were a number of reasons. One bid package, we received no bids. The electrical bid package, it was really high and for various reasons that we're sort of developing and changing right now. We only received 2 bids on the electrical package, which is just crazy. And I tell you, the construction manager, EIS, I've never seen someone work so hard to, you know, communicate, get minority presentation on the project, to get bidders to the table. They've just been really working hard. So it was, you know, a little disappointing to see 2 bids come in for that. But you know, we're working on it, and we're doing a few things that are going to bring that back in line and get those prices down. So anyway, there are about 6 packages. I won't go over all those, but they'll be coming in 3/15. and then we'll, like I said, we'll have a better sense of what the project is. As far as schedule goes, like I said...
Councilman Sheldon has a question.
On the masonry, I understand that two bids came in, and I guess explain, I'm hearing one side, of course, that there was missing documentation or something.
They didn't submit their CRC documents with the bid.
Okay, were they...
They just didn't submit.
Were they presented to them so they could do it, or...
Tackle it.
Okay, so now you...
I don't want to have to deal with that issue, right? And you don't want to have to throw out a bid package just because someone didn't supply paperwork. So we talked about this endlessly with all the bidders. We even told them, get your CRC documents in before you get it in. Jack Wallace, our contracts officer, can check the document, make sure it's all right. If it's wrong, then you can get it changed at that point. So we went over all of that. We got the bids in. They never submitted it beforehand, both bidders.
And both had qualified them.
They're fully qualified to bid.
But I mean, they actually have apprentice programs.
Yeah, and then they submit their bid, and they didn't submit the CRC paperwork. It was very frustrating. So we have to rebid that.
Kind of gives you concern for their attention to detail. I'm sorry.
Since we, just to make sure we get straight here, I never announced who was here from the beginning. Councilwoman Kirkpatrick, Councilman Sheldon, Councilman Bell, Councilman Smiley, Councilman Weiner, Councilwoman Dillard, my aide, Bruce.
Motion approved, a minute.
Second.
It's been moved to second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Ayes have it.
So that's what happened on masonry back.
Councilwoman Kirkpatrick.
Thank you. So you have a steel contractor now, because I was getting phone calls about that one, and it's saying that was made to go back to you.
No, the contract is in contract tracking. It's in the executive office now.
Okay.
So it should be signed by tomorrow.
Okay.
Ready to go.
Okay. Can you tell us who got some of these bids?
Murphy Steel will be the steel contractor. Carroll Construction is the concrete contractor.
Okay.
So as far as site work goes, site utilities, now that the building pad is prepped for the concrete contractor, site utilities will be going in over the next couple of months, including the underground stormwater management system. We lost a couple of months because of the trench concrete and steel. So the schedule keeps slipping. But we think the building envelope should be complete by early December. And we're expecting grand opening early May, late May, early June on the project. So that's where we stand right now. Any other questions?
This Councilman Collins is present.
Thank you.
Anyone else have any questions?
As the bids come in and we award, we can give you an update on who received contracts too.
So you got to keep flying your drone?
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
Maybe you ought to get one.
Yeah.
No, we do for the police, though.
I think once I actually spent about an hour and a half with a guy choreographing what this really should look like. I think it's going to be pretty impressive once we edit it at the end of the project.
Yeah, because you can show all the stages as it pops up. How big a lot is that?
The total lot, including the innovation campus back to the Hallway Terrace, air parking lot, is about 13 acres. So that includes 230 Hillview, 224 Hillview, 3022, and 3022.
Are there pieces behind what you just showed?
Yeah, the library site itself sits on probably about 7 acres of that 13.
Thank you.
67.
I guess the next thing, are you presenting that to Glasgow Department?
Yeah. I thought this would be really neat. I was kind of going through some of my pictures on the Glasgow Hermitage project. And it's amazing when you're so involved in a project, and you're out there every day, as the buildings get renovated, you know, the memory slips and you forget how badly deteriorated the buildings were. So I went through some of my pictures and it was really impactful looking at the pictures. So I just kind of developed this really quick presentation to show you. And I think it just really shows you what kind of impact we're all having on projects like this. This is the Bank Barn, one of the two primary buildings that we renovated out there in phase one, three phases. It's just amazing when you look at the amount of deterioration that we ended up getting. So I'm going to take you around the Bank Barn to show you some of the pictures from different angles. This is even, the before picture is even after taking, you know, a lot of the shrubs and vines off the door. There were a lot of trees. There's a utility pole out there that you can see it. One of the next shots that we cleaned up. Yeah, there. So it kind of adds to not only the building renovation, but the site renovation. It just looks really, really nice out there. That's probably the main entrance to the Bank Barn. You can just see how things go with this repair. It's pretty amazing, the transformation. And then this is the Fraser House that we renovated the exterior. You can see they had closed in the porch. And so we opened that back up again. It really, really makes the house look nice. And that before picture, even after we've taken all the vines and the shrubs off the door. I'm going too fast to say. I just thought I'd give you a little flavor of what's there. And I'm going to show you a closer picture of the porch. And then that's the comfort station. That's about 100% complete now. The weather kind of killed us. We probably have 2 to 3 weeks left to get the force main in, and the project will be 100%. And we expect to be commencing design on phase two and the maintenance building out there this week. So that's essentially it. But it's pretty neat to see that. I mean, I had forgotten how bad the buildings were. So it's pretty neat to see that. Any questions on that topic?
Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Are we renting out any of those buildings, or what are we utilizing?
No, we just had a discussion about doing something with the Fraser House. Now, the interior hasn't been renovated, but I'm working up a price to see what it would cost to renovate the interior of that, because that would be a really nice structure to have someone out there permanently. And I think Community Services, I don't want to speak for them, but I think they have some plans in the back of their minds to do something to have more presence out there, not only just farmers market activities, to have some staff out there. So yeah, there is some discussion about that. I think that will happen.
The Catholic County Government Center number two.
I just like to say, what, you know, it looked so bad, and what saved those buildings was the roof and the postal construction. You know, if the roof had gone bad or had a hole anywhere, you'd end up rotting the rest of the way. Same with the house. As long as you have the structure of those peg and beam, they don't go to the anyone have any more questions on that? On the last number types. The next thing is the sewer basin budgeting process.
Unfortunately, I don't have any pictures of drones or any
cool videos to show you. I don't think most of you want to see videos of sewer pipes and
manholes
anyway. Yeah, I know. I don't want to see any.
It won't bother me.
Found a lot of interesting things. Anyway, I'm Jason Zern. I'm the operations engineer. I work for John Hudson directly. What you guys are going to see in a few weeks is our presentation for the capital budget. We made some changes to the format of the budget, and we're going to be changing how we develop that budget in future years. So the department just wanted me to try to present what those changes are. So hopefully you guys aren't surprised when you see it coming up in, I guess it's April or something. The changes that we made really have roots in the asset management program that I was asked to develop. So I'm going to try to quickly go through that just to refresh you guys' memory. It's been a while since I've been here to present about that. But the last thing I'm going to talk about really is how we're starting to implement this program in improving our data management, trying to initiate proactive condition assessment, and then how we're developing standards to for data analysis. And all of that kind of leads to why we're changing the format or how we're doing our capital budget process. Real quickly, a definition of asset management. I've presented that to you guys before. Basically, what we're trying to do is juggle our customer service, the risk in which we manage our sewer system, and the cost of all this. It's a careful balance, because you can increase the cost and get better customer service, maybe better risk, but maybe that's too expensive. If you want to lower the cost, then maybe you don't provide as good customer service and you're operating at a greater risk. So you have to balance all three of those to make sure that you're in line. And again, the reason that we're doing this is to try to lower the overall cost of the sewer system. You can see the red line indicates funding. So as your funding goes down, maybe what you're doing is less maintenance, and you might be trying to ignore some of the minor issues that are coming up. But then what happens is a major issue happens, and you have to throw a lot of money at it, and that's what we're calling reactive risk reduction. And that's basically what it happened with Brand 100, if you guys are familiar with that. And then it's just kind of a cycle where maybe you get a false sense of security that you fixed all the issues, you lower your maintenance costs again, and then you just come back to that cycle. And what we're trying to do is just kind of even out this cycle so that you know what your risks are all along, and then that way it allows a more steady funding and planning in the future. So, again, there were three things. The first thing that we needed to do is improve our data management, both in how we analyze the data, how we collect the data, and also our information systems. At the beginning of this asset management program, we needed to develop an asset hierarchy. It's basically just the way you organize your data. And what we found is the three major systems that we had, ANSON, which was at the time our work order system, our GIS, which is our mapping, and TIER, which is our financial system, they all had the data organized differently. So they couldn't really talk to each other very well. So we standardized how we wanted all of our data to be organized. And we came up with this hierarchy that was basically dependent on the size of the asset and the location. So we were trying to develop terminology to describe all of this. And at the upper level is what we're calling the system, and that's defined by major conservation or treatment plants. Below that in the hierarchy are basins, which are defined by interceptors, then asset groups, and then finally the assets or the actual individual manholes, pipes, or other components of the system. What you'll see is it's much simpler than the way we used to describe our system, and actually the way we did it, it's a little hard to see, but we did it in which if the county wanted to expand the asset management beyond the sewer system, this can be used as the model. You see all the way in the left, that's kind of the upper end of the hierarchy, simply Newcastle County, and then our department, special services, then the sewers division. Later on, you can add parks, you can add buildings, you can add other departments, but we just focused on the sewer system. So you can see that, which I call level 5, is kind of the system level, and then under that, the smaller assets, the Little Mill Interceptor, the North Christina Interceptor, beyond that, then even the smaller. So it's just a way that we're going to be able to do work on each individual pipe, and then roll up that information all the way up to analyze cost, to analyze work. We have to report to regulators, you know, however we want to do it, this facilitate that data analysis. And then if you look at the map, this kind of represents the old basins that we divided the county up into. It basically went with watersheds, names of creeks, streams, rivers, things like that. You can see there's a lot of them. What we basically did is kind of combined all of those, and each one of these new systems represents those smaller areas. Just a better way, we think, to manage and describe our sewer system. Just a little bit about our information systems. GIS is really the backbone. It's what almost all of our sewer divisions use now to communicate. All of our work is put into GIS, so if engineering is doing a project, sewer maintenance knows about it. If sewer maintenance is cleaning pipe, we can see all of their work through GIS. As you know, we've replaced our old Hanson system with CityWorks now. The configuration is still ongoing. It easily communicates with other systems that we have, which is an issue that we're running in Hanson. And I mentioned the hierarchy. What CityWorks actually does is uses the database for the GIS and simply adds to it. So we're not duplicating databases. All of our attributes are stored in the GIS database, and CityWorks just uses it. So again, we're not confusing. We can't have two database structures. The last piece that's pertinent to my discussion here is our CCTV. Again, it's an older system. It doesn't communicate as well with the others, so we're looking at replacing that. So again, the second part is we need to initiate proactive condition assessments. So the way, you know, 20, 25 years ago, I think we basically ran our sewer system like a run to failure. There wasn't a lot of maintenance going on. We waited until the manholes started overflowing or homes used to back up, and then we jumped in, spent a lot of money, and fixed things. We hired consultants that would then do all the investigation for us. They plan it, they do the plans. And it worked, but it did take a long time to get through all the approval processes and all that. And again, there was many problems with that connected. Bad customer service because we were dealing with irate homeowners. There were high unexpected costs, and we obviously ran into some regulatory issues that we're going to bring in. So we've learned a little bit from that. Our maintenance program has developed a lot in the last several years. And we've also been doing a lot more rehabilitation. So as you can track your numbers, the overflows have definitely come down. Now we simply look for these minor issues to happen, and then that tells us where we can go and investigate. Whether it's there's a lot of maintenance, there's a lot of grease, roots, things like that. If a storm comes through and we read that the level in the sewers goes really high, you know there's holes that we need to find. Or if we do have customer complaints, obviously we go and investigate that. It's a better than run to failure, but again, we're still reacting to a problem. It does allow for a better prediction of sewer issues. And in fact, we're expanding what we've done out of Brandywine 100 into other areas of the county. So we're trying to avoid getting into that Brandywine 100 situation. But it is still a reactive of managing your sewer system. So what we're going to start doing is be proactive. We're going to really search for the issues before they become issues at all. And what we have to do, though, is we have to focus on investigations. We need this up-to-date and continual stream of data for us to be able to find these problems. Right now, though, however, sewer maintenance finds some issues, but their focus is maintenance. Engineering right now, our focus is fixing the main problems. So we have to change a little bit how we do business to actually go in there and investigate.
Councilor Carter, Mr. President.
So the asset management program created a framework that we can start developing some of these processes. So the condition assessment part is part capacity, which we know from our hydraulic model, part operating performance, which we're going to get from our maintenance workers. And then this last piece really is the structural condition, which we need to get from the investigation. And of course, we're trying to standardize this and make it as easy as possible to get from investigation to actually fixing the problem. So, unfortunately, I guess I made a short story long, but one of the ways that we decided to try to do this is actually create rehab-focused projects. Right now, we have some larger projects, and we're doing all kinds of projects within that. But what we're going to do is separate out the investigation and rehab and just focus on those activities. You've heard a lot about those types of activities, pipelining, lateral lining, test and seal. Those are all trenchless, very much lower cost, little disruption to communities. We'll do some manhole rehabilitation, and then we need to, we'll do some minor pipe replacement and point repairs. The other way we try to focus on that is I've actually kind of reorganized the engineers that work for me into more specific needs. Right now, everybody kind of does a little bit of everything, but what I'm doing is focusing on a few engineers, so their task is just to do investigation and rehabilitation. The others are just going to be working on the larger pipe replacement or larger projects that have to go through a formal design and construction process. So what you're going to see in a few weeks in this capital program are the addition of, there's about 10 new projects that, again, their focus is only investigation and rehab. And like I said in the last bullet, if there is a larger project, that's going to, a separate capital project is going to be created in that. So you don't have anybody to think of high projects and things like that. So those larger projects will come out and be a project. And this is basically what I created. Again, you'll see this in the end of April. So the White Clay System Rehabilitation is the new investigation and rehab project. And what it's basically doing is replacing three smaller projects. That this year the projects are actually defunding some of those just to fund the bigger projects. So it's really, when it comes to dollars, there's no real increase because I'm adding projects. And that's just a list of all the ones, the larger text of the new projects. And then real quick, I won't belabor this, but again, when it comes to data analysis, we need to come up with a standard process. Now that we're getting all this data, how are we going to use it? So again, within asset management, all of those structural conditions, all of that data that we're getting on our sewer system is actually going to be quantified into what we're calling a risk score. And we're going to be able to put it on a chart like this. So these individual purples are different areas or different individual projects that we're going to investigate. And again, in the red is the high-risk projects. The green down to the bottom left are lower risk. So obviously, we want those projects to move down to the lower risk. So then once we get these quantified and we can look at them, we're going to run analysis to show, okay, now that we know where the problems are, how can we fix them? Is it a simple rehab? Do we need to change our maintenance processes? What are we going to do with it? Then once we know, we're going to put cost to what those different activities are. And then we can come up, once we know what our budget constraints are, we can figure out, all right, what are the best projects to do right now? How can we prioritize what areas go first? So again, we're going to be gathering all of this data from those different categories. We're going to collect data throughout the year, then prior to the budget process, we're going to run this analysis in order to figure out, okay, what projects need to go into the capital program. We're about to start that prioritization process, and we actually got a grant from DENREC in order to do that. So we have our consultant ready to go, and I think we'll kick off in a couple of weeks. It shouldn't take us long to formalize that process. And then probably by the next budget cycle, we'll be able to use that analysis to perform the capital budget. Benefits, obviously we've been working in a reactive way. We're going to change to more proactive. What that means is the projects that we do are going to be smaller in nature, less disruptive, generally less expensive. It's going to lead to better customer service because we're going to be dealing with fewer emergencies. And all the areas are going to be able to get some attention. We're going to prioritize, and we have to look at the entire county, not just one portion. So again, I focus on staff to do just these tasks. I think they'll develop some expertise in these areas, which is good for employee development. We're going to be able to get through projects faster because people are focused and not trying to do, a bunch of different things at once. And lastly, it will lead to a better long-term plan.
Is there any questions? Councilman Cartier.
I just have a comment. I came in before the end of this, but really, what I did see, I think, in terms of long-range planning and identifying priorities for true rehab, I think is really great initiative. And I know that it will, go a long way to meeting the needs of our school rehabilitation. And, just to point out the money that's possible. I know a lot of things we invest in the school rehab and then 100, which we appreciate. But we have 1,800 miles of system. And it's a big responsibility. A lot of it is very old. A lot of it was built with federal money. And we don't have those resources to tap anymore. So for us to really, create a system to really evaluate where we invest our rehab dollars, prioritize projects, is really I get a lot of reassurance out of that. I think for a lot of things that happen, we let it go to the moving very much on this until it's really bring the integrity back to the system. And I think we can avoid that in other areas of the county by, getting things as they get into failure, not waiting until it's pretty much a collapse situation.
I have something. And it was probably off what you just said. A lot of it was done with rural development money years ago. I've seen a couple with Water Farm One. We still qualify Sackville now for rural development grants for this. So I don't think we've utilized it. I know Middletown's utilized it a lot, but there are grants. The thing is, you got to apply as a loan, and then it turns into a grant. And I don't think we should apply for loans just figuring where we're getting the money from, whatever. But the only way to get those grants, which they had to have done when they built the system up here, is they did that exactly. It was done under rural development funds years ago. But I don't think we've utilized that sound right now. It does. It's the only place. It's how Kent and Sussex does everything. It's how Middletown has done it. Smyrna does it. They just did a whole bunch on Smyrna's sewer system, and it was rural development grants. So John brought it up how it was done, but we ought to be looking at the southern part of the county, the funds that we're just letting go to another area or another state. But you won't have that north of there. So, I agree with John. I mean, part of it is, and what you had said earlier, is because of the mistakes we've done, is you're trying to correct it to get a system that you can figure out exactly what's in this problem.
Yeah, brain plan numbers is a big lesson learned for us. Where, a lot of these efforts are because we don't know what to do.
Yeah.
We're at the point where we've done so much work in Brandywine County. There are other areas of the county that are now just as bad as that.
That are newer.
That's right. So they need this now kind of move out of Brandywine County and focus on the entire county.
And there are systems that are newer. I mean, when you take Water Farm One, what do we have? And some of that system coming out of Middletown and Towns End is pretty damn old.
Odessa. Yeah, there's a lot of new areas in.
Everybody looks at the new, but the other's 30, 40 years old. Councilwoman Diller.
I apologize, but I do have a question. For those of us who are in areas where we
might have connections with other sewer systems. I mean, this sounds really interesting, innovative, and in the long run, but what happens for those communities that are kind of straddling an older system versus this system, and how do you say we're talking to them?
Yeah, that's exactly
what I'm saying. Yeah, I'm trying to be tactful, but
I brought up Middletown.
No, we have been in more contact with the city of Newark over the last couple of years. They've changed their management of their sewer system. And actually, those that are in charge there now used to be private consultants that we've worked with quite a bit. So there's definitely a stronger relationship than might have been in the past. Not that there was any issue really in the past, but just we have known them, worked with them a lot longer. I know they've asked us some questions over the years. They had some challenges that are different than ours. They are starting to work more on their sewer system, trying to get out the infiltration and flood anyway. So they're making some strides, but like every organization, you have to develop at your own pace. They're definitely intelligent guys. We've talked to them every once in a while. We're working on relationships. We're sharing some resources where it makes sense. Certainly some different experiences that we've had. So, and we'll continue to work with them as well if they need assistance.
Councilman Tack is present. If you have any more?
No, I'm good. If I have anything specific on it.
Sure. Does anyone else have any questions? Jason? Is there anything under other? Any public? Yes.
I just have a question. Can we have an update on Southern Sewer, since that's been sort of in the mix over the last couple of weeks as to where it is? Can you see where we're planning to put it?
We took another look at the plan that was developed 15 years ago or so, and there should be a final report in the draft. So we're kind of reviewing what we're doing and making sure that we're doing the sure. That is
thank you.
Under that, maybe we ought to make sure we do it when they have the report.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to bring them in and
I'll note it.
Councilman Taggart.
Also, perhaps maybe at some point we could put on the agenda, as far as meeting with courts go and sign up for the amnesty program and stuff like that. Because, I mean, at one point, we were told that the developer was there, they had to sign the report if not they were out. But now I think we want to bring it to where it's mandatory, and if they don't sign up, we're taking the show costs.
All right. We'll have to get somebody. All right. Any other under other? Any public comments? Seeing no
motion to adjourn.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
See, told you I'd bring it back. For the Marvin.